This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. One thing led to another. How often have you heard this phrase? It's the way life goes. Taking one step sets you up for the next. And that can be true in art, activism, or anything else you choose to take a swing at. Take Adam L. McMath, for example. Years ago, he debuted his documentary at a film festival put on by a nonprofit called Black Alphabet. And today, he's Black Alphabet's executive director. Adam told his story on our sister station, Vocalo, last year for their Shy Sounds Like series.
My name is Adam L. McMath, and I'm a filmmaker, a community organizer, and the executive director of Black Alphabet, and this is what Chicago sounds like. Black Alphabet was started 10 years ago this year, back in 2013, by four founders. And it was really just founded as a film festival organization that highlighted Black LGBTQ voices through film. I came on board as a filmmaker, actually, that first year. I directed a film about 10 masculine lesbians, or AKA studs, called Misunderstood. And it featured some community members that were really just dynamic, and one in particular, Jackie Anderson, who passed on recently.
Jackie Anderson. I am an African-American lesbian, butch, that sometimes I'm a stud. That's at least what some girls call me.
Was in her 70s, and she came over to my house, and I did this crude documentary in my living room at the time, and she was just game, and she was really into it. Of course, when you debut work in front of a large audience, you're like a nervous wreck, and I got a standing ovation, and my producers got a standing ovation after we screened that. And the founders of the organization asked me to join the board. And as the years went on, I've done every role at the organization until about 5 years ago, I took over as executive director and president. We still do the film festival, but we leverage art to address things that disproportionately impact our community, be that mental health, HIV prevention, testing, etc. And it really has become an effective way to get folks in to talk about different issues that impact our community and then figure out some outcomes. If you were to look at the organization, it feels almost like a community service organization, but it's not. It's really, we bring people in, even if they're not artists. Sometimes they take art courses. We're going to offer some creative writing courses later on this year and really help them hone that craft. Then we also help them put that out into the world. I think programming for us, by us, is important for any community, particularly BIPOC communities. One of the first films I remember really having an impact on people around me was Malcolm X.
You're an African who happens to be an American. You have to understand the difference. We didn't come over on the Nina, the Pinta, and the whatchamacallit. We didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on us, landed right on top of us.
I was about 10 years old. It made me realize that I didn't know a lot about what happened in the 60s and 50s and before. I really saw that the film taught me as well as entertained me and really opened my eyes to how people lived and the struggle that even my grandmother suppressed growing up in the 30s and the 40s in this country. So, and of course, right after I saw the film, I asked her, I was like, did you know any of this? And she was like, yeah, I was there. she was like, and then she would go on and tell me, oh, I went to a Martin Luther King speech and I protested and your mom protested. And I asked my mom and she was like, yeah, I protested back in the 60s. Yeah, but everybody did. It led me to eventually going to my first protest and figuring out how to speak to power and how to make change in this world. So I really was drawn into the art of cinema because of how it empowered me. and how it can empower other people. Now is the time to be a storyteller. Everybody has the tools now. Some people have the tools in their pocket with their phone. I just really want to do my work and pass down what I learned to the next generation so they can continue to do the work. And I want to remove the barriers for them to do that work. I am originally from St. Louis, Missouri. Back in the year 2000, I went to my parents, who were both business owners at the time, and I told them I want to go to art school. I really don't want to go into the family business. One was a daycare, and one was an architect. And I told them I wanted to go to film school and be a filmmaker like Scorsese and Spike Lee and Spike Jones and all those folks at the time. And to my surprise, they said, okay. So I've been in Edgewater for 12 years now. So I walk out the back door of the building and sit on the beach and meditate every morning when it's not 10 below. And you just have access to, you know, little shops here. And we have great coffee shops in the area. But Edgewater is really a community feel. Like there's neighbors that live five buildings down that I've seen almost every couple of days for the last 10, 12 years. Chicago has influenced my work in unimaginable ways. I think the rich history of Chicago is undeniable. It's really, for me, an inspirational city, working class city, and some really, really great, great artists in the city that a lot of people outside of the city don't talk about. I really love documentaries. I'm currently working on a project right now with the organization that I run to really tell the history of Black LGBTQ folks in the city of Chicago. The person that came up with the Bud Bullockin name was a Black LGBTQ person. Most people don't know that. His name is Willard Motley. He was a writer for the Chicago Defender. And then we had Joe's Deluxe, which was a club in the 1950s and 60s on the South Side that was world-renowned for its drag shows. I think people in our community know about the 80s and the warehouse and all that stuff, but we don't know really what happened before that, because there's a whole generation of people that are no longer here that can tell those stories. Storytelling is the genesis of communication, life, and art, in my opinion. So, and it's the oldest form of really getting the message to people. Film as a visual and immersive medium, I think, is critical for people to not only experience people that look like them and love like them on screen, but really it helps with people understanding that, in our community in particular, understanding that it's nothing new. We've been around for hundreds of years. And ultimately, you know, part of oppression is to erase our stories or our history and our past. And it's important for us to control that narrative and to deliver all of our history to people's doorsteps, whether that's on YouTube or on a big screen or wherever they consume media and film. I believe that most of our community has some kind of artistic sensibility. I think a lot of culture came from our community. If you look at like Beyonce, Black queer people kind of influenced a lot of the stuff that she does. If you look at Michael Jackson, his main choreography was in the community. And then, of course, you have legends like Alvin Ailey and the like that really did some important and critical work that informed the culture and shaped the culture. So I think we should celebrate that. So I want to uplift young folks that don't think they can do it and let them know that you actually can. And it's hard work, but it's easier than you think to get into it.
This episode was produced by Ari Mejia at WBEZ's sister station, Vocalo. It's a part of their Shy Sounds Like series. You can learn more about Adam L. McMath and find other profiles of Chicago activists, artists, and changemakers at vocalo.org/shysoundslike. And that's it for today. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. Justin Bull and Sarah Stark are our show producers. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show, and Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Shout out to Adora Namigade, Lisa Labis, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon news episodes as well. And another shout out to Erica the Wonder, who gave us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and wrote that they use the rundown to connect with their family. Erica wrote, "So many times I have sent a midday episode to my brother to connect with him on history and culture of Chicago." Erica, bless you. Thank you. If you feel like this is a 5-star podcast, go ahead, let us know on Apple Podcasts, and I will shout you out as well. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. Have a lovely weekend. I'll talk to you on Monday.